First of all, just want to welcome everybody back to another late night with Lox, 7 p.m. I don't know how we consider that late, but just the name of the show. First of all, we got some house cleaning, housekeeping we've got to take care of. I would be remiss if I don't get this out the way right off the bat. I want to wish a happy birthday to the head coach of the Loxley clan, Kia Loxley. We're practicing social distancing. She's down in Florida, and I'm up here in D.C. I think we went a little too far with the social distancing. But again, I want to just, again, everybody help me wish Kia, my wife, the head coach of the Loxley clan, happy 48th birthday. I don't think I'm supposed to tell a woman's age, but I'm sorry, Kia. I always screwed that up. But again, I'm so excited. Again, I appreciate you. I wouldn't be the head coach in Maryland probably if I hadn't met you. So again, if everybody helps me wish Kia a happy birthday, we'd appreciate it. Looking forward to getting you back up here when all this stuff breaks, sweetie. Again, I want to thank you guys so much for all the love you guys showed. Our guest on Friday, we had a big time show. I was a little stressed early on, you know, behind the scenes. I don't know how much you guys were able to keep up with, but this live platform makes me a little nervous. But we were able to have a great show. We had my man, Mr. National, Ryan Zimmerman. Again, I can't thank Ryan enough for coming on and spending some time with us here on Late Night with Lox. And of course, you know, again, I want to thank Tua Tagovailoa, one of my all-time favorite players, for taking time. He pulled over the side of the road to jump on, you know, the Late Night with Lox call. We had to call an audible. We switched we switched it up a little bit, but it was great having those guys on the show. I got careers, and again, I want to wish Tua luck in the next couple of weeks as he continues his prep for the draft. And again, Ryan, much like us, I wish him luck as they continue their prep for their baseball season. And again, you know, with this COVID-19, it's put a lot of things on hold. The purpose of Late Night with Lox is to give everybody about a 30-minute break from all the news and a lot of the negativity that goes along with what we're going through, to try to bring together a whole lot of different groups, whether you're a Terp fan, you're a DMV, a person like me that loves the DMV area, a former player, former Terps, players that played for me at other places. This is what this platform is all about, to kind of bring us together again and spend 30 minutes together just kind of fellowshipping, talking sports, talking music, talking whatever it is you want to talk about. You know, once again, if you missed the last show, we just want to make sure you know you can check it out again. Catch the highlights on our NBC Sports Washington platform. I want to thank the people at NBC Sports Washington for, again, continuing to put the highlights of the Late Night with Lox up on their platforms, as well as our Terps platform. We appreciate the love they've been giving us and keeping you up to date. Everybody knows this isn't a normal space for me. But what I've, you know, been having a great time doing, I'm getting more and more comfortable with doing this thing and catching up with all my friends. And again, we need the same energy every night just to get comfortable and enjoy the show. So you never know what you're going to get. This is just, again, a couple of guys or a couple people just talking sports. And that's what this show is. It's not staged. It's not, you know, rehearsed. You get what you get. So again, I love connecting this way with so much uncertainty. What I do know is we'll get through this together. And our partners at Under Armour came out with that slogan, and I'm ready to get rolling. You know, tonight's first guest is a guy that I've known the 30 years I've been in this business. I feel like we came into the business at the same time, maybe. And I don't know how long he's been doing it, but I just felt like I grew up as a coach with him, and we kind of grew up together. He's a former quarterback at Ohio State, where his dad also played and coached. He's the booming voice of college game day every weekend, brings so much levity to the show, does a great job. He's on their number one crew for their prime time game on ESPN and ABC. Crew at college game day. I know he runs Buckeyes. He had Buckeyes running through his vein, but he's always been a great supporter of me. I can't wait to bring on my good friend of mine, Kirk Herbstreit. What's up, Herbie?
What's up, Lox? How you doing, man? How you liking this?
Man, as I told you before, this has been a little nerve-wracking. Hence the reason I've been texting you for the last 30 minutes. Like, I learned my lesson. You know, coach always, you don't want to make the same mistake twice.
You're doing great. You already had Tua on, huh? And Zimmerman. That's a great start.
I did, man. I had Tua on. I had Zim. I had Brenda Freeze on earlier, along with Yannick Ngakoue, former Terp. Yeah. And then also had Mojo Rawley with the WWE crew, and EJ Henderson, who just went into the College Football Hall of Fame this year. So we've had some big-time guests on the show, man, and I can't tell you enough how much I appreciate you coming on, spending a few minutes with the DMV crew, our Terps fans, all the people here who, you know, follow you. And again, like I said, it felt like we grew up together in this profession. I grew up as a coach. And when did you jump in? When did you join? When did you come into this?
I started at ESPN in 1995.
Okay. And so you're about 3 years behind me. My first coaching was 92.
Okay. So. Yeah, I got it. Mine was my senior year, 92 at Ohio State was my last year. And then I did some local TV and radio for a couple years, and then put an audition in at ESPN and got the job. It was a new station called ESPN2. Just opened, just started, and that's where I started doing sideline reporting. Did that just for 1 year, and then a guy named Craig James. I don't know if you remember Craig.
Craig James?
Yeah.
The Pony Express?
Yeah. He left to go to the NFL to do a studio show, and they did another audition and asked me to come in for that. They basically told me before I went in for the audition, they said, you're not going to get it. I was 25. They're like, you're not going to get the job. But it'd be good for you to just go through the experience of going through the game day audition. And I think they saw something, you know, there with Corso and I, and this will be my 25th year this fall coming up.
Wow. So tell me, what's been going on? How have you been handling COVID-19? Again, I talked about you being down in Nashville. You guys dealt with obviously the tornado that came through. Yeah. I talked to Tua a little bit about that. You guys have dealt with quite a bit. What's going on in the Herb Street household now that, you know, COVID-19 is still in effect and you guys are in that area recovering from a tornado?
Like, I guess, like everybody, as far as just adjusting to the new norm, thankfully, everybody that I know and, you know, my family and friends are safe. I had one buddy that fought it for 2 weeks. And that's when it got really real for me. It was early when he's my age, healthy, works out every day. And this is when they were saying, you know, the elderly are the ones you got to be careful of. And you know, everybody's thinking about their parents or grandparents. And next thing you know, my buddy's 45 and he's fighting for his life, you know. And that's when I was like, man, what's going on with this? You know, that's when the president and Dr. Fauci, I don't get into the politics. I just listen to Dr. Fauci. Whether he's right or wrong, he seems to be the expert. And whatever they say, lock it down, we locked it down. We were on spring break. We left early. I have four boys, as you know, and two that are at Clemson as walk-ons. And we were all on spring break together, all six of us. We just came back home. And just since then, about March 23rd or so, we've been here at the house, locked down and occasionally going out. Not much, though. We're just trying to follow the guidelines and trying to kind of weather the storm and see where this thing's heading.
How much work are you doing still? Like, are you guys still doing some assignments, obviously from home on some of the college football prep or?
Yeah, I mean, I try to work at it 12 months out of the year. These last 2 or 3 weeks, like all of us, you included, just uncharted waters, you know, when it comes to your norm and your normal prep. Right. I don't know. I think I spent the first 2 or 3 weeks just trying to figure out, like, what's going on and how much longer is this going to go on? And, you know, what the heck is this? And now it's just like, it's real, you know, it's like, here we are, you know, and, you know, the NFL decided to go forward with the draft. And so, you know, me and Reese Davis and Dez and pretty much Pollock, our whole game day crew, we're going to be doing the draft on ABC. It's a totally different show. We did it last year. It's more of a college version of the show, talking about how we've gotten to know these guys and a little bit more about their personalities and what drives them based on some personal experience being around them, as opposed to Mel Kiper. Boy, the Dolphins need a left guard, you know. We're not into the NFL, so we're more into the college style. And last year it was a really great success. The ratings were much higher than the NFL anticipated. So there's an appetite out there for people that want to see the college – background and the college stories. So Tom Rinaldi and Maria Taylor are going to have a lot of interviews, a lot of storytelling, a lot of, you know, every one of these guys that makes it, you coach probably every player on your roster. Everybody's got a story, you know, whether you make it to the NFL or you don't. And it's just so touching to hear about some of these stories and some of the things that some of these guys had to overcome to get to where they are, even if they're just great college players or just on a team, you know, so let alone make it all the way to the NFL. So we try to talk about some of those obstacles and some of those great examples and kind of the beacons of the sport and try to set them on a pedestal where they deserve to be.
All right. Well, as we talk about college football and the upcoming draft, you know, I noticed just doing some research as I got into this platform here, you've been pretty outspoken about your thoughts and beliefs. What do you think about college football in 2020? Where do you see this thing?
Well, you know, just real quick, I did an interview when this thing first kind of really got started, and I was talking like with you, like I am right now. Like I was doing an interview with a buddy, a guy named Ian Fitzsimmons. He was doing late night ESPN radio, and it was just he and I just kind of talking, and he's like, "Man, today was supposed to be the start of Major League Baseball, and it's canceled, and everything's canceled." And I was like, "Dude, you know, I don't even know if we're gonna have football." It was more like. Right. Not on top of a mountain, there will be no football, the way it was reported. It was more of just almost like thinking out loud, like, right. Are we not going to have football? I mean, is that where this thing's headed kind of thing? And now that I've had about 3 weeks since that interview to talk to a number of ADs and a lot of people who are the decision makers, I mean, who knows what tomorrow brings, let alone 2, 3, 4 weeks, 2 or 3 months. My feeling is, come hell or high water, they're going to play football. You know, I think they're willing to go all the way to making it a spring sport, you know, where you probably in those same conversations, you know, 2-a-days in February, games in March and April and May and bowl games in June. Extreme measures if it comes to that. So I think they're willing to – I think right now, Locks, they're building like 4 or 5 contingency plans. Like if they green light us on this date, we'll do this. If they push it back a little bit, we'll do this. And I think it goes from normal all the way out to starting in March. And so, you know, we'll see what happens. And I just can't imagine empty stadiums or people in the stadiums with masks on. I mean, it's just so bizarre to think about where it's going to be. And I don't think for the future, but I think for the 2020 season, it's going to be a very memorable and just obviously different year.
Yeah, as I tell people, it's just so fluid. You know, every week, you know, we have head coaches calls, you know, every Thursday with the Big Ten head coaches. And, you know, when people ask me, it's just, you don't know. I mean, it's not going to be a decision, I think, made by, you know, the colleges or the universities. It'll be a lot of statewide decision and then obviously some of the federal stuff. But there's really no answer right now. And so what I've tried to do with our team is let's focus on what we can do right now and take advantage of that. And then we'll deal with tomorrow because you'll drive yourself crazy.
Yeah.
All the scenarios, but I've heard.
I don't think fans understand from talking to coaches when those players are on your campus and they're in spring ball. And then you guys go after spring ball before camp, you're still lifting weights and they got training table, they're eating, they're under your watch, right? All of a sudden, this thing hits. And I'm sure you got guys on your roster, parents maybe lost their job. You know, it's one thing to worry about them working out. Right. It's another thing worrying about, are they able to get food? Are they able to be taken care of? You know, so I don't know if you have it to that extreme, but I have talked with coaches that's a concern. You know, that's a worry for them. And I don't know, has the NCAA addressed that? Is there anything that each university can do to try to help extreme cases where these guys are really in a tough spot?
Yeah, you know what? There are some relief there. There's a lot of residual effects of what COVID-19 has done. I mean, we've had to set up meal plans and meal prep deliveries for some of our players based on, you know, what they're able to get in terms of the food. A lot of the parents I know that on our team are, you know, whether they're laid off or have lost jobs. So there are a lot of residual effects.
Yeah.
Of this whole thing. And, you know, one of the tough things is obviously, as you know, it's a trickle down effect because, you know, there are going to be costs. We're losing money but universities are losing money. So
yeah, yeah,
I agree with you. At some point, football is going to have to be played because, as we both know, the power of it and what it does for so many of the other sports at our universities is going to be really important. Before I let you go, I got to address this. I mean, and I sent you a text about a week or two ago, kidding, and I said, so is it any truth you're going to Monday Night Football or what?
Man, that's being talked about right now. I'll just say this. I will never leave college football. So if I ever were asked to do Monday night, it would be in addition to game day. And I really love calling games on Saturday night and then into the Rose Bowl and, you know, the semifinal, the national championship. I mean, for me, I'm living a dream. And I enjoy the NFL. I really enjoy watching the individuals that we've covered in college. But I'm just such a passionate college football fan that I could never leave that. I've never just had, some guys in our business, they like in your business, they want to get to the NFL.
Right.
It's not my thing. You know, I love college. I'm going to stay in college. And if I do it in addition, I'd be willing to do that. But I'm never going to leave the college game.
Got it. So you got the Twins up over at Clemson, won a natty. Got to be excited about that.
Yeah.
Man, I appreciate you coming on. This has been fun. I'm on a, we flipped the script a little different than those Fridays when you had to come in at some of the other places and then you're questioning me.
Yeah.
It's kind of, we just flipped the script, man. Great seeing you.
You know, I love you, buddy. I'm a huge fan of yours throughout your whole career. Glad you finally got an opportunity to do your thing there. And look forward to you continuing to build that program up, the way you're going to recruit, the way the philosophies that you have, not just coaching XOs, but the type of people you're going to bring in, lure in. A matter of time, you get that thing going the way you want to, and I can't wait to be in the front row and watch you do it.
Appreciate you, man, and all you do for college football. Tell the family I said hello, and we'll be in touch, big fella.
Hey, tell your wife happy birthday.
All right, Herbie. Appreciate you. Thanks, dog.
See you, buddy.
All right. Kirk Herbstreit, man. Great friend, as always, a huge supporter. You know, we had a couple questions for him. People wanted me to ask him about when we're going to get College Game Day here at Maryland. That's my job. I got to figure out how to get this thing going. And just know this, if you take care of business, they show up. As we saw, as our basketball team hosted College Game Day on basketball this year, it was a great environment. I enjoyed getting a chance to see it. So we got some work to do, and we're going to put the work in. You know, as we switch over to our next guest, there were a couple questions in between that in our last show, we had people send in some questions. So as we start segueing into our next guest, I want to just maybe answer a couple of these questions. You know, last week I was asked, what's my favorite spot to eat around College Park, Route 1? And, you know, it's so tough because there's so many different spots there, man. But, you know, I love good old fashioned Bentley's. They got burgers, the wings. You know, John Brown, for years and years and years, have done a great job there. So I'm a big fan of Bentley's. For the people that know me, I lived in that Marriott hotel over there for about 3 or 4 months, and they got probably one of the special little places tucked up in there called the Commons. I like that restaurant. And then, you know, I've been a big fan of the College Park Grill, one of the newer places there. So all three of those places, great atmosphere, great environments to go before Terps games and after Terps games. So, again, those are the three places. Take one more of these. It says, how have the recruits and team reacted to the new Cofield House? To me, it is a game changer for us in recruiting. To make the type of investment that we've made with this facility, having, again, worked at some of the other top flagship universities in the country, whether it's Alabama, Florida, Illinois, being here, this facility will be second to none of those facilities that of the previous places I've had opportunities to work. And it is everything our players need to be successful. We have it there. And again, to repurpose Cofield House, all the great memories that I know I had as a kid going to basketball games there, and to see how it's been repurposed and the job that they're doing in terms of putting together this new football facility has just been great to watch. So, again, I appreciate the questions. We'll keep moving the show along. Obviously, this next guy needs no introduction. Our next guest is someone that you have heard host back in the day, the Golf Channel. You know, he's a guy that's been on ESPN Radio, all the different ESPN platforms. He's the host of SportsCenter late at night. A Terp, somebody reminded me, not a former Terp, because you're always a Terp, but a great Terp, a great supporter of Maryland athletics. One of my dear friends, we share the same barber, Scott Van Pelt. What's happening, SVP?
Man, you drive a hard bargain, man. You're gonna bring in Herb Street and then me, I gotta follow the JV, man. I'm following one of the real, you know, heavyweights in our business. But I'm good. I'm at home, doing like everybody, trying our best to stay safe and sane. It's a challenge at the moment, but you know, like Herbie said, I know we're trying to do our part, and we're thinking of everybody that's struggling. And you know, this is a cool deal you're doing, and you know, just be, hey, like, I need the job, okay? You got a job. Don't come for mine. You hear me?
Well, you do a great job at yours, man. And I'm gonna just tell you. So, how's the family doing? What are you guys? What's going on at the house? Are you teaching English? Are you the math guy? Science? Where are you at with this homeschooling?
Well, My wife, and by the way, happy birthday. Your bride is a wonderful woman. We know this. She's letting you do this on her birthday. You better have something planned when we're done.
She's down in Florida. She left me for 4 weeks.
Well, there you go. Smart lady. She got where it's warm. But my wife was a teacher, and so she's got like a schedule mapped out, and it's pretty regimented. And my daughter, bless her heart, She wrote on there like at 5 and 6 o'clock. She knows her mother. She wrote wine on the schedule every day at 5 and 6 o'clock, because by the time you get there, and like, look, I'm the old guy with little kids. So we're trying, you know, I got little kids. We're trying to keep people like healthy and upright and not, you know, throw trucks at each other and whatnot. So it's challenging. And we were supposed to be at the Masters last week. Obviously that didn't happen. And we were supposed to be down in Florida on vacation ourselves this week. But I mean, obviously we're staying home and trying to do what we're supposed to do, stay out of the way and let this thing kind of die down. But you know, anybody out there with young kids, Locks, and look, you've lived it, so you know what it's about. Like, take yourself back to like 3 under the age of 7, man. We need more help than the good Lord's got.
And I heard there's something called new math or something that just scares the mess out of me, because it ain't your old carry the one over and all that. They got all these new ways of teaching.
I failed math 110 at Maryland 3 times, okay? Now, mostly that was a scheduling problem, okay? We had a Friday quiz, and it was mandatory, and that interfered with my social's calendar, Locks, and I couldn't be bothered. So I am not the math helper in this house, I'll promise you that.
I got you, man. So what's your day-to-day like, man, with being in the quarantine? Like, what's your day-to-day like? People always ask me what mine is, and I feel like I've been stuck to a computer for 12 hours a day because we've got so many Zoom meetings, team meetings, staff meetings, recruiting meetings. What's yours like?
I have done, since the night that Gobert tested positive, which feels like it was 100 years ago, but I guess it was whatever, the middle of March, I have not missed a show that I was scheduled to do. Like, we've continued to do shows. And I mean, you can relate, right? You're trying to coach, but you're coaching in a world where you can't do what you typically do. Well, I'm in the business of trying to host a show about sports. And I've often compared myself, Locks, as to being a waiter. Like, you know, you guys play a game. Well, I'm showing the highlights of that game. I'm not doing the cooking. I'm just delivering what was done, right? But right now I'm a waiter in a restaurant without any food. So we got to really get creative here. And I'm really proud of our group. Our group has done an amazing job coming up with content. And, you know, when I like I said, I'm scheduled to be on vacation for this week. So when I go back, we'll be leading up to the draft. And so there'll be content in and around that. But I mean, it becomes very, very challenging to come up with creative ways. And we actually came up with this cool thing that we called Senior Night, which was a way to acknowledge. Say, go ahead.
I said, I love
it. We did a thing. Well, I appreciate that. And you get it, because as a coach, think about the coaches at the high school level or at the smaller college level. And Brian Kelly said this to me when he came on. He said, I love Senior Night. And I said, you know, you're at Notre Dame. And you're obviously in the Big Ten, and you came from Alabama, like places where you get tons of attention. But if you're at a smaller college or if you're at a high school, like, I didn't know these stories. And the beautiful thing that's happened, Lox, is I got a chance to find out about some of these athletes and some of these schools. And the coolest thing about being able to show them on our show is we got so many notes about how much it meant for them to feel like they were seen, for them to feel like that light from SportsCenter was on them just for 15, 20 seconds, just for us to say the name of their school. And look, you know me a long time. Like, I don't think I'm a big deal, but I know the place I work casts a pretty big light. And I'm honored that we got to show that light on those people and have them feel like their accomplishments were recognized. And that really mattered. And so it's really been a beautiful thing. You know, we needed content, and they were the best kind of content we could have found. So that's been one positive out of all the rest of this.
It's been great to watch. And I can tell you, I can remember a couple of years back, you did a piece that I saw literally driving to a game, and I was watching it, had my headsets on, and it was the piece you did on Elliot Uzalak and what he did up at that high school up in Michigan.
Yep.
It was just unbelievable, touching story. So you've been great about just finding those little nuggets of stories and
I appreciate
storytelling behind it. It's been awesome. Now, everybody knows the type of Maryland fan you are, how you support our program, all the sports. I mean, I've seen you at lacrosse, basketball, you come to football when you can. What's your most memorable moment as a student at Maryland from an athletic standpoint? What stands
as
out
a student? Now, I'm old now. I'm old, Lox.
All right.
I'm looking over the top of your head, and I'm looking at Leonard Bias on that wall. And I was there for senior day when they played Virginia. And this is real inside the beltway, but I'm talking to Terps fans. You guys are going to remember this. Olden Polonese was a dude who played for Virginia, who played in the league for a long time. Now, Olden had blocked a shot of Lenny's that year and got in his face and pointed at him, okay? So Lenny, he filed that away for later, right? So it's senior day, and at some point, Lenny blocks Polonese's shot. And the rest, like, the play is continuing. And Leonard's in his ear, and he's MFing him sideways, okay? Like, the play's going on, and, like, Bias isn't even playing anymore. He's letting Polonese know we're good. And then things continue on, and it ends up leading to an alley-oop dunk where a guy named Speedy Jones, and Terp fans are going to remember Speedy Jones, he had, like, a 40-inch vertical. My guy Jeff Baxter throws an alley-oop to Speedy Jones, and the roof blows off of the building. And for the entire time that there was a timeout, one half of Cole chanted Len, the other half chanted Bias. And, like, you know what he was. Like, he was a superhero come to life, man. So as a student, like, and even now, like, look, they team won a title, and, like, Gravis is a guy I'll always love, and that 2002 team I'll always love. But if you're of a certain age and you got to see Leonard Bias, like, no one will ever touch that dude in terms of what the mythical kind of figure he was and still really is. So that's my answer.
You say Jeff Baxter, you know, Max, as we called him. Max grew up in my neighborhood. And so that's what my love for Maryland, really from the basketball standpoint, I would come up to Cold Fieldhouse, be in the parking lot, get tickets, and go in and get a chance to watch Max play. And it great, great story. Before I let
he's still very involved. I see him all the time. Whenever I come back, I always see Jeff, and it's he's one of those dudes that doesn't get older, man. It's offensive to me, man. He still looks the same.
Smooth lefty too.
Yeah,
he had a smooth stroke, man. So now there's been a big talk about you relocating back here to home. When is that happening? What was the thought behind it? How did you get that done? That's awesome to hear.
Well, I've been up here 20 years, Coach, and our president's a great guy. His name's Jimmy Pitaro, and he's a regular dude. He's a sports fan. He gets it. And I told him, I said, I've been here a long time, and I said, whatever chips I've earned, I don't know if it's a tall stack or a short stack, I want to push him in the middle because I want to go home. Because Tony and Mike, Kornheiser and Wilbon, have done PTI down in D.C. for years, and there's a studio there. So I reached out to them, and I asked, like, could I do a show there and not screw you guys up? Like, I'm not trying to come mess up your situation.
Right.
And they said, no, you're good. Like, we got room for you. And I got a great relationship with both of those guys. They've been really kind to me through the years. So once I had their blessing, I took it up the food chain. And, you know, thankfully, Jimmy gets it because he said, look, it's about family. My mom's going to turn 80 this summer. She's there. My aunt is, my mom's sister is like as close as you can be for not being my mom. I got family there. And let's be honest, I'll be closer to Terp games. Like home is, and listen, you know what this is about. You came home. The power of home represents something that you would understand, that I understand, like the DMV, like you try to explain it to people that aren't from there and it's hard to explain it.
Hard.
But it's a real thing. It's a gravity. It pulls you home. And so we're going to be back by summer. Obviously this situation right now is, who knows what it's going to, I don't know what it's going to do to sports, right. But I know it ain't going to stop me from getting home. I am coming home. We'll be back there by summer. I hope we have sports to talk about, but if we don't, at least I'm going to be home in the DMV.
I can tell you, for somebody that got the opportunity to come home finally in a role that I've always coveted, man, it's been everything I could ever dream of to be back here, close to my family, my friends, and very familiar territory. Again, we're trying to sell that same vision of being home and staying home. And we got a great product to sell, as you know, the strength of that degree and what it's done for you and your career, and then even, you know, some of the things that we've done and invested in Maryland football. So we're excited about it, man. Can't thank
well,
you
listen,
enough.
I don't want to get you in trouble, but when are we going to see another one of those locks going up on that Twitter screen? Like when do I get to see that locked in go back up there? I see it. Like I try not to wear you out and text you immediately, but I see that and I'm like, who is it?
Yeah. Well, we need to get a wall closing here soon. I'm hoping one of the reasons we're doing the Late Night with Lock show, we got kids that have nothing else to do. I'm sure a bunch of the recruits are hopefully watching this, and they get opportunities to see the power of the network we create, seeing former alums like you and how you guys support the program and coming out of the communications program here on campus. Maybe somebody wants to be the next Scott Van Pelt. That's what I'm working at.
As long as it's not a violation, I'm sure all this is just two old friends talking on social media during a pandemic. I'm sure the NCAA isn't coming for us, but it's nice to see what you guys are building. There's a lot of momentum there, and obviously Terp fans are well aware of that.
Man, I appreciate your time. As I always say, time is our most valuable commodity, and when people give you their time, they're giving you something very valuable. On behalf of the Terps, man, we're proud of what you're doing. I love you telling those stories and recognizing the seniors that have lost opportunities. And again, man, you've been a great, great Terp, great, great supporter. Look forward to seeing you back home.
I appreciate that, Coach. And listen, no one ever has to thank me for being who I am. And I'll say it one time here. I've said it a million times. Long after I'm not the guy from ESPN, I will always be the guy from Maryland. So all I am being is who I am, and it's great to be with you. Stay safe. Love to the family, and we'll see you soon, all right?
Same to you, big fella.
All right, Coach.
SVP, man, what a great, great show we had tonight. It was an ESPN night. We had Kirk Herbstreit earlier, followed by no one other than Super Terp fan himself, Scott Van Pelt. These both guys are just pioneers in their profession and their business. And do such a great job. I can't thank them enough. I really mean when I tell you, man, when people give you their time, they're giving you something so valuable. So I can't thank you guys enough that are out there that have logged in to Late Night with Lox. And I appreciate the 37 minutes that you guys have given me. You've helped make my day. Looking forward to Late Night with Lox on Friday. Stay tuned. I have no idea what a beer has me up to next. To tease our special guest, but I can tell you we're going to have two really big-time guests on Friday night, 7 p.m. Eastern Time, Late Night with Lox. I hope you guys enjoyed the show. I love it. Love being back home. God bless. Stay safe. Again, follow the advice of the medical people out there. People, stay home. Let's flatten this curve so we can get back to normal. See you guys Friday, 7 p.m.